This is a work session on the Community Framework Plan, July 12th, 9 o'clock.
We ready? Good morning. Thank you all for coming. Good morning, councilors. For the record, Oliver Ojiako, Community Planning Director. So I will be giving the presentation or overview of the Community Framework Plan. When the council asked for this work session, I have I put this presentation together. So what I will do is provide you an overview of what is the Community Framework Plan. There's been some conversation about the framework plan. So what I will do is this will be informational item for you. I will try my best to have a discussion with you on what is the framework plan, how did it all begin, and in a nutshell, what is it again, and how does everything fit together, and what was the process that the county and the community engaged in the development of the framework plan, and how well is the framework plan matching how the county has been developing. So that's really the conversation I want to present to the council this morning. So here's the agenda, what the community framework plan is, provide you some highlights of the recent updates to the plan, and then briefly discuss, mention recent community conversation or discussion, open it up for question and discussion to see precisely if there is any direction from the council. So that's the agenda. So if I may, how did it all begin? The council is aware that the state of Washington passed the Growth Management Act in 1990, and with the passage of the Growth Management Act in 1990, now codified as RCW 3670A, the county and the community began a conversation of how do we develop a plan that will be consistent with the Growth Management Act. And that conversation started in 1990, and the Growth Management Act, if you will, became the catalyst to update the 1979 comprehensive plan that the county had at the time so that it would be consistent with the Growth Management Act. So the county, along with all the seven cities, began a conversation in framing or coming up with a vision, not if the county is going to grow, but how is the county going to grow. So that was really the impetus for the development of the framework plan. And look at it as a 50-year vision of the county in which the county and the cities and the county residents at the time believe that they need that vision to guide us on how we grow into the future. So the 50-year vision, known as the framework plan, sets broad framework for how county will ultimately develop. I will get to the conceptual map later, but it did identify areas for urban growth then and into the future. It also conceptually identified land for long-term rural and natural resources. From the framework plan, the county and the cities then developed a 20-year comprehensive plan as the first phase of implementation of the 50-year vision. In a nutshell, the framework plan, as I indicated, established a consensus, a community consensus for which land will eventually become urban and which land will remain rural or resource. As I indicated, it is the foundation of the 20-year comprehensive plan. It's not in your packet, but what we posted on the grid you will find the plan, the community framework plan, as it was approved and adopted by the county and each of the jurisdictions in 1993. That is on the grid. We also posted on the grid the first chapter of the 20-year plan, because that's also in our comprehensive plan document as the first chapter. So in the plan, you will find that there is conceptually designation of what area will be urban and what area will be rural. It has policy direction for future urban and rural uses. Again, for the county and the cities, it provides the framework plan for the counties to develop their 20-year plan to implement that shared vision. It provides outline of all jurisdictions' 20-year plan, and how does everything fit together? As I indicated, the conversation on developing a 15-year vision started with the passage of the Growth Management Act. With that, the county and the cities embarked on a development of the framework plan. It took the county and the cities, I would say, 3 years, because the conversation started in 1990, but the actual work began in 1991, but lasted from 1990 until it was adopted in 1993. From that framework plan, the county and the cities then developed their 20-year comprehensive growth plan to be consistent with the Growth Management Act. So the first plan, apart from the 79 comprehensive county plan, was the plan that the county developed in 1994 to be consistent with the Growth Management Act, followed by conversation on how do we pay for that, which is the capital facilities plan, and then the zoning or the development regulation to implement that. This next slide, you may say we find the slide and it's very, very helpful in terms of what was the process that the county and the community undertook in the development of the framework plan. As you can see, I will call it a very extensive 3-year process, culminated in the effort and then adopted in May of 1993. What the county and the cities did was, one, establish a steering committee. The steering committee comprised of all the three commissioners at the time, and then all the seven mayors of the seven cities within Clark County, they formed the steering committee. And they made policy decisions to guide the planning work, if you will. They also established a steering, what they call Technical Advisory Committee, and the Technical Advisory Committee was appointed from representatives from the county, the seven cities, the school districts, special purpose districts, the port, CTRAN, and I believe CRPDC participated in the steering committee. And if you look at the first phase, was just defining the future, a conversation of what would the county look like in the next 50 years, if you will. The second phase was testing that future, and then the third phase was making that future a reality. In the initial conversation and in the testing of the vision, I will get into how this all fit in together, following this diagram. The next slide is the public process. As I indicated, the conversation started way back in 1990, but commenced fully in 1991. It was what I would call a campaign. Every household in Clark County in the early 1990s until this plan was adopted received what was then known as a perspective newsletter, asking public and the citizens to provide input, tell us what, or tell the county elected official or decision makers what they would like to see or how this plan will guide the county's long-term planning effort. From 1991, there were workshops and service to identify top issues. In 92, the county then developed three alternative plans on how to achieve that different goals. There were three alternatives. The first one was what was called metropolitan. The second was called country. And then the third one was known as hometown. And it was the hometown concept, if you will, that the community embraced. We want to have our own vision, and we want to be able to have that hometown feeling, if you will. We don't want to be like a metropolitan downtown or metropolitan Seattle. We just want our own unique hometown feeling that conserves resource land and natural areas and allows for development of a high-capacity transit system, or at least develop in a manner that provides that opportunity.
Oliver?
Yes?
Quick question. On the three plans that the county put together, that was based on the input that you'd received the prior year?
Yes, and throughout the process, I'll get into that, because the workshop, you will see there, was attended by at least 700 folks. There was newsletters that went out, and then there were about 750 written responses. And all that accumulated in the community saying would prefer the hometown option. And then the county and the cities prepared an environmental impact statement on the hometown piece. And then in October of 92, the county and the cities, after preparing the draft of the framework plan, began another campaign of public meetings for the citizens to preview the framework plan. And again, hundreds of folks attended that preview of the framework plan. From November to December of 1992, the county also engaged in a telephone survey, asking folks again to provide input on the draft framework plan, and also set up a hot phone number where folks can call in and also express what they like or dislike about the framework plan.
Oliver,
go ahead.
Of the three, based on the names of the other plans, it sounds like hometown was kind of the middle of the road, so to speak.
Yes.
And just because I was not living here in the early 90s, what did Vancouver or Clark County look like at that time? I mean, what was kind of the setting when this was done? I mean, I'm thinking East Vancouver was probably pretty sparse, east of 205. What was the context and population? Just kind of a rough idea of what did it look like when this plan was written?
You're right. The East County was predominantly not fully urbanized, if you will. As I will show you on the map, the development at the time was not as intense as it was now. Population-wise, I think the population in 1990 was close to 200. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're close to 245,000 countywide in 1990 at the time. So that's how much I can tell you, but you know, some of the areas that the development that you see today weren't here at the time.
And Cascade Park was just developing.
It was just developing at the time, and that was the time that folks like Newland Northwest was coming into Clark County and planning on how to develop Cascade Park.
1993 is when I moved to Clark County. So.
Yes.
Oliver. Yes. So was the so you had the steering committee. And then you had
technical advisory committee.
Yeah, but you had the steering committee. Did the steering committee come up with the three alternatives with the public input?
The public input led to the selection of the preferred with all that information.
But who came up with the three? Was it, did the public have?
The public came out and working with the technical advisory committee and the council and the steering committee that made policy decisions. They provided the guidelines that led to the development of the three alternatives. And then the three alternatives was presented out to the public for them to choose which alternative that they prefer. That's how it was done.
And then come to meetings at the fairgrounds and all of that.
Yes.
It would seem that somebody must have come up with the three ideas prior to the steering committee. I mean, did the planners say, here's the metro, here's the hometown, here's the country?
It was the policy direction from the steering committee and the work of the technical advisory group that led to the three concepts that was developed. And remember, throughout the process, planning and the consultant were going out to the public and getting information, doing all the workshop to outline what is it that you would like to see. There were questionnaires done, and from those input led to the development of the three scenarios that then again went out to the public and to the steering committee and the technical advisory committee to determine which one should move forward.
I just think, you know, public outreach is really important, but I think of this as in its birth pangs, so to speak, that not many people, not much of the public was really paying attention to what it was and were probably quite ignorant about what was going to happen over time. So, you know, I understand, you know, the outreach, and that's the only thing you can do. You can't make people educate themselves prior to, you know, some policy decision. But I just think that a lot of people didn't have any idea. We're paying attention.
Councillor, I wouldn't say that, because believe me, those that were here were extremely involved in the process. As I indicated, there were this respective newsletter, maybe folks will get it and toss it, but it was going out every month. Like I said, it was a campaign. Every household in Clark County received that, participated. There were meetings, not say downtown Vancouver, out in Battleground, out in the center, out in Richfield, wherever the county and the cities will find opportunity to engage the community. Yes, I've never seen any campaign, and we haven't engaged in that type of process before, but just giving you an idea that it wasn't something that technical or planning staff or special purpose district developed. It was done with input from the public, and that's what led to the three scenarios that was studied. And then that again went out, as I indicated, there were phone hotlines set up. And there were folks that, you know, didn't like any of the plans, if you will. I'm not saying that it was all perfect.
Sure.
Yeah, there were some that didn't like it, and but that was the consensus at the time. So if I can move on, what is in the plan? If you read the plan, what was adopted in 1993 and the first chapter of the comp plan, you will see that it provides policy and goals to guide implementation of the vision of the county's future. It also provides you community vision that encourages growth in urban areas and rural centers. And then outside of those urban areas, land is predominantly rural, farm, forest, open space, and large lost residences. And then the county and the cities and towns developed a 20-year comprehensive land use plan under the umbrella of the framework plan. If you look on the right side of the slide, you will see all the elements that is contained in the framework plan, and it mirrors what you typically will see in a general land use plan. It has land use, housing, rural and natural resource, environmental, critical areas, transportation, you name it, all the way to issues relating to annexation and incorporation. Next slide. These two maps are in your packet. The one on the left is the conceptual framework plan. And the one on the right is how we have developed, if you will. You may not see it, but I will use this. This is, if you look at Richfield, it was contemplated that in a 50-year time horizon, Richfield will come out to the junction and will probably be growing to the north, if you will, and further to the south. And the areas between Washougo and Camas you will know a difference when you pass each of the two cities. They will grow together. There was some idea that there will be an open space between Camas and Vancouver, using the Fisher's Well area, if you will. If you pass the drive-through, that you wouldn't even see it, but that was what was contemplated at the time. If I may, while you don't see that, but if you look at your map, this darker red or orange area is areas that will develop with high density, if you will, buffered with lower density development. And you can see that the growth anticipated was, we are going to be following the existing infrastructure in place, 205 and I-5, and following that investment as we grow going forward. You see Battleground growing to the north a little bit, but not reaching the east fork of the Lewis River, and then a little bit to the south and marching towards, to the west, towards Dallas Corner. It also contemplated that Vancouver will be a major urban area, with the smaller cities being small centers, if you will. The legend is hard to read, but if you follow that, Vancouver being a major urban center followed by the smaller cities, and then you have small open space areas, if you will. And this is all supposed to be forest, followed by agriculture, and then open space using the east fork of the Lewis River and other rivers like Bumbridge Creek and Salmon Creek. You look on the right side, you will see that really much has followed conceptually the framework plan as a vision. Some will disagree, but that in a nutshell is really looking at the two maps. You have 11 by 17 maps provided for you in your packet. You can compare the two and see how well we have developed over time, or at least the plan is 20 years old, but you can see that we are pretty much developing as a vision.
So, Oliver, can you talk about the legend on the community, the map on the old map? Can you actually tell us what those are? Because you can't read them on our. So, the color red.
You mean here?
They are. Oh, we have a bigger one we can read.
Oh, yes.
In the notebook.
Yes.
Those are three.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
And are you finished?
Yeah,
I'm
just trying to get.
I want to go back to PJ just 1 second, and I see these elements of the framework plan. Does GMA has 14 elements, doesn't it?
14 goals, yes.
And goals, okay.
Yes.
Do we see that anywhere in the presentation here, and do they mirror any of these, or are they supposed to, or?
Pretty much, I would say that they really mirrored the 14 goals, because remember the 14 goal, which was shoreline, was added later on, but in the Growth Management Act, there are required elements that we have to have in our comp plan. And then there are some that you can have as optional, for example. So these 10 or 11 elements that are in the framework plan, I would say with the exception of community design, all the rest are required as required element you have to have in your comprehensive plan to be consistent with the GMA.
Yeah. Not to be like a broken record, but one thing I don't see in there is private property rights. And that is one of the goals, the 14 goals, or at least the AG talked about it in a presentation.
You're absolutely correct, Council, and I think the two Council here can talk about it broadly, what that means.
I know what it means.
It means
not takings. That's what it means. I understand that, because I have read the AG's report. So it's pretty, I understand that in order to actually claim some sort of property right being taken, it really has to be, it has to be shown as a taking, at least in what I've read. I'm talking about the more subtle takings. I don't think that we could, I'm not sure that there would be things that would create for a taking.
Right.
And because that has a very high standard.
You're correct, and you read the 14 goals and the way it property rights is stated, it goes to the taking issue, but it also requires that as you do your plan, you make sure that property owners are heard, that they participated, and that the decision that you make takes property rights into consideration. I don't think that the Growth Management Act requires that I don't think you made property rights at a mandatory element that has to be in the plan, but it says as you do your plan, you look at the required elements that has to be in your plan, but as you do your plan, go through the process of developing it and designation and so forth, it requires that you consider property right issues. The other way that you do that is not only through the public participation process, but through the testimony that you receive daily, and that you consider that in your decision-making process. The other way that you property right issue are discussed is you take all the inputs into your decision-making process, and we provide opportunity. Sometimes people don't always get what they ask for, but you have the GMA also to be content with. But I will only add that property right is mentioned in the 14 goals, but it talks about it differently in terms of your development of your plan, what you consider. But it doesn't require you to have a chapter devoted to property rights. That's all I can add.
So Oliver, in the 94 plan, when there was a massive amount of rezoning, mm-hmm. especially in the rural, did that come from the framework, or did that come from, they had to do it because of a population estimate to get through the first plan?
I would say that if you look at the 1979 map, which was the first comprehensive plan, not really the first, because you have to go back to the 1960s, knowing that the county had the land use plan in the 90s. But the 1979 plan was the first comprehensive plan, and then the zoning that implemented was done in 1980. I would say that the discussion that came as a result of the development of the framework plan led the discussion on how you do your 20-year plan to implement that vision. If you look at the conceptual, remember that the framework plan wasn't detailed, it was conceptual map, but it did provide you policy guidelines on how to do your next 20-year plan. That, as I indicated, you look at these two maps, you will see that the forested area remains, the call it forest tier one, which is your 80. That was then in 1979, except it was 20 acre minimum.
Right.
You have ag in 1979, it was 20 acres minimum. You remain 20 acres. In the 94 plan.
In 1994, there was a lot of two and a halves. you know, went to 20s.
True, and there were five, there were 1.5 and 2.5 that went to 5. Now remember that the designation of resource wasn't really more on what the pastor size, it was more on does the ag meet the soil test, and does it meet the criteria set out by CTED? You follow those criteria in identifying and designating your resource. That's how that was done. There are, if you will, there are many personalization that have occurred in Clark County. If you recall, in the prior to the 1979 map and until the 94 plan, there were some areas, the county used to allow 1 acre minimum throughout the entire county. The county used to allow 1 acre minimum. In the 1979 map and zoning, the 1 acre minimum was limited. Everything else changed in terms of zoning. There was 1 acre, 2.5, 5, and rural farm, which was 10 acre minimum. But you can go to 5 if you can show that the soil can perk. That was in place in 1990 or in 1979, if you will. And the ag zoning in 1979 was 20 acre minimum. The forest was also 20 acre minimum. All that changed. What changed was the pasture size. The county rezoned, when the county rezoned the 79 plan, if you will, as the foundation to comply with the GMA, it eliminated the 1 acre zoning. Some of those 1 acre and 2.5 was brought into the urban growth boundary pretty much. And then there were some 2.5 and others that went to a higher parcel size, if you will. But inherent in that was what was, you know, in place at the time, because there were a lot of parcelization. There was even a provision to combine parcels, but that didn't pan out, if you will. And all this, as you imagine, were all challenged to the growth board and the ruling and the court. So you're right that there were some areas that were once zoned 2.5 that went to 5 or ag, but it didn't go to ag because it went to ag because it met the criteria for designation of resource. Here are the highlights of recent changes made to the framework plan. Actually, three of them here that I want to highlight. The first one occurred in 2000. This change was made because of the first plan monitoring report the county did was completed in, I believe, in 1999. And as a result of that, the county and the cities looked at that report and said, you know, the framework plan calls for 60% of the new single family will be, the new single family construction or what come online was going to be 60%. And 40% of all the multi-family that was going to be developed is going to be 40%. So this idea of 60-40 was in the framework plan. Following that first plan monitoring report, the cities and the counties change the multi-family, single-family ratio to 75% single-family and 25% multi-family. That was the first change made to the framework plan policy as it relates to the single-family, multi-family ratio. The second change was in 2001. Again, following the annual plan monitoring report, that provided data to change the dwelling unit for the seven cities, if you will. The framework plan contemplated that the Vancouver UGA would have an average of 10 units to an acre, both multi-family and single-family, and the smaller cities would have 8 units to an acre, with the exception of the town of Yakult, which would have 4 when they develop a capital facility sewer system. So that 2001 report provided evidence that 10 units per acre in the Vancouver UGA is too high. That changed to 8 that we have today. And for the smaller cities, instead of 8 units to an acre, that was reduced to 6. The town of Yakult still remains 0 to 4 until they have a sewer system. So that was the two changes that was made in 2000 and 2001. In 2004, I think the county, the council was aware that there was issues relating to light rail and conversation. So we were asked to change the policies that you find in the framework plan and also our countywide planning policy from light rail to high capacity transit. That was the change that was made in 2004. The 2007 update and the 2016 update plan appear to be consistent in concept with the framework plan. What I will add is that these changes were made during periodic plan update, if you will. There is no formal process for amending the framework plan. It's not, you will not find any policy or any formal way to amend it. However, amendment to the framework plan have been done in collaboration with the cities and all other jurisdictions, cities and towns. We just don't arbitrarily amend it on our own. We coordinate and consult with the cities because the framework plan, each of the seven jurisdictions adopted in their own plan. So we go through a collaborative effort to amend the framework plan. This is the last slide that I have in terms of the recent community conversation about the framework plan. The first mention of possibly updating the framework plan was February 23rd of this year at the State of the County address. And the second meeting we had was May 16th of this year. I think there were community stakeholders that met in this room. And literally, it was a conversation of what do you think, and if there is interest, what aspect of the framework plan that the county and the city is engaged in. At that meeting, I think it's safe to say that the city, our city partners indicated that they've not had the opportunity to consult with their city council to be able to provide a desire to engage in update to the framework plan. And some of them were asking why now, because we just came out of the 2016 plan update. And I followed up on our June 9th, 2017 meeting with my city partners in a coordination meeting. I pressed them. Some of them have submitted letters which I passed on to each of the council members. And we're having this work session today. So that summarizes what I will call a high-level overview of the framework plan, how it all began, the process the county took to update it or to develop it, and what have happened since then, and how close are we in terms of how the county have developed. Remember, the development of this 50-year vision is not to stop growth, it's just to guide how did the county and the cities want to grow. And if you look at the two maps, you will see that we are, I would say we are pretty close to the conceptual framework plan. Some will disagree, but that summarizes my remark this morning, and I'll wait for questions and answers or questions from the council.
So here you say there's no formal process for updating the framework plan. If it's something that we decided we might, that we would want to do, would we just then create the process, or would we want to formalize it in some way, or?
I think it would be proper to formalize it somehow. Do the county engage with the cities? Do the county councilors want to form a steering committee, an advisory committee? What's the level of public participation or engagement you want to embark on? And is the update going to be narrowly focused? What is the parameters of what you want to update? Because at the end of the day, the city partners here are going to go back to their council and want to engage. There's going to be costs associated with it. Do you want to hire a consultant to do it or an outside person to do it? What aspect of the area do you really want to focus on? Some of the letters said, well, you know, we would like to know the scope before we can jump on board. And I think there's some merit to that. Right now, if you ask me what area of the framework plan the county should engage in, I would probably say, I don't know.
I think we would probably say, I don't know as well.
Right.
I think scope is critical, and until we have a really idea of what we're looking to try to do, if anything.
Looking at the framework plan right here, and it starts off, it has population projections, and it projects by 2040, so 23 years from now, we'll be at 500,000 people. We're at 450,000 now, growing at about 2%.
471.
471, okay, I was going to say last year. Yes. So we're going to be 20 years ahead of schedule in terms of what this 50-year plan was projecting. Now, this plan was not a plan for 50 years and ended 500,000 people. We're going to be there 20 years ahead of time. So as I look at the maps, I would generally agree that we've grown along those lines, but we've already expanded beyond what that framework plan is. So I think this plan may have been a great guide to get us to this point, but I feel like we've reached the end. You know, this was not that it was a goal, but if this was our target of where we see ourselves being in 50 years, we're 30 years down the line, almost 30 years, and we're there now. So I think we do need to look at what's the next step and how do we grow? You know, the population I found here in the plan, we were 238,000 in 1990, so we've doubled that. I think we need to think about how does that change how our community now grows in our next phase of growth. You know, maybe Vancouver's a teenager now, you know, we did this when we were a kid, now we're a teenager. What kind of adults do we want to become as a community? So I think we do need to look at setting some framework or some parameters, what we want to look at. But when I look at where this plan, where the goals were for this plan, I feel like we're there, and now we need to start thinking about the next step.
And I think just the reality of we hit, every city has really hit the boundary now where to grow. And now with the state rules that say you have to have an area study for ag and resource and all of this to expand the urban growth boundary is extremely hard now. 2007 is, you just found a good consultant, you could get it in, you know. The days are gone unless there's changes to the state. So I think that has to be dealt with. And even like Vancouver, you know, we have a waterfront project, a lot more density within the area, our capital facilities plan, things like that. I think it's just, like you said, we're growing up. We're becoming a bigger community, so.
You're right, councilors. In my reach out to staff at the State Office of Financial Management, it is my understanding that they will be coming out with their population forecast sometime in October of this year. I don't know whether they will release that sooner, but we do rely on that information, which we'll bring to the council to say, what do you want to do? If that, if you engage in conversation on the framework plan and they come up with that population forecast, say by October or early October, I could see the pressure to start looking at expansion of the UGA or how we grow. So we've got to be very careful on not engaging in the conversation of the framework plan and then having to start conversation on expansion of the urban growth boundary when that population comes out. I'm not sure what it will show, but I believe that it probably will show us growing faster than their previous forecast in 2012. It is true that the last April 1 population estimate for the county showed that we grew within the time period of 2.17%. That's significant. I don't disagree, but I think, you know, if you look at OFM population and estimate in the past, yes, they have been off. It's all estimate, but if you look at the census, I think they have been very close to, you look at the 1990 census, you look at the 2000 census, the actual count and the OFM have really been pretty much where they missed the boat is in the forecasting, and it's all estimate. But if you look at actual what they said we will, where we will be with the 1990 census and the 2000 census, they were right on the money. That's the least I can say.
And I think in the, when we first done the framework plan, you know, 205 was kind of, it was, you know, it might come, you know, we thought, oh, that'd be a nice little bridge. And then it did come, and then all of a sudden, you know, the world changed. So, I mean, and if we do the same, you know, hopefully someday we'll have a better bridge across, and I mean, that will change too, so.
Yes.
And I just want to comment, I agree with Councillor Blum's comments in looking at this first plan and what the population was projected to be and what it is, et cetera. And then I you know, if the question is, we just completed the comprehensive plan in 2016, why now? The answer might be, because we just completed the plan of the 2016 comprehensive plan. That is the answer to me. I think we do need to look at the framework. Keeping in mind, I agree that there have to be sideboards. I mean, there have to be boundaries that we set and look at specific things. And if indeed we are getting some new projections in October, we should be thinking in line with those time frames and cautious about various things. But I really believe that there are many different participants and stakeholders that have disagreed with the population projections. And that changes things exponentially. It really does. And so I think we have to be really forward thinking and not limiting ourselves so much when we think about that. So as we go forward, like I say, I think we do have to have some boundaries for sure, but I do think it's time.
So Oliver, would it be advisable for you to make a maybe a technical committee with the cities and come up with them boundaries or maybe a couple suggestions?
Mr. Chair, I suggest that we as individuals that we go through the plan first and come up with some ideas. Maybe talk about it more.
I'd rather have us. We're policymakers.
Yeah. Here's where we see potential for changes and then go from there. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, it is going to have to be in cooperation with all the other jurisdictions.
Sure, so absolutely. They are part of the county. Yeah, they are. And they have to abide by it too. Yeah. So, of course.
I agree. But if this is also, this is our problem. I mean, to a certain extent,
you know, all these jurisdictions are part of this plan and part of this process. We built this framework, so I don't think we should step in and decide we're just going to create the new one. Or we just have to be aware that there are all voices all around the community that, to your point, need to be heard.
And they will be.
Yeah.
They certainly will be
my other question,
down the road.
My other question would be with regard to your workload at this point in time. I know you've already presented us your work plan for the year. And is this something that, I guess, after we spend some time looking at it, I just want to make sure.
Councillor, the only thing I would add, you're going in the right direction in terms of engaging whether it is among yourself first and then probably having a reach out to, like you said, the other jurisdiction, in this case, other mayors, to whatever present what that would be. I would recommend, because if the scope is very narrow, it is something that I and my staff can manage. If it is too broad, and remember there are other things on the plate that you have not really yet approved. You're talking about the forming an agricultural advisory committee. That's going to be in my shop. We have the housing that is already in my shop. And we have the school advisory council that is in my shop. At some point, I'm going to come to you and I said, I need additional staff or not. to be able to handle whatever you're putting on our plate. I'm not saying that we won't be able to do it. I will also add that, and I think Councilor Blum mentioned this yesterday, the legislature just passed the 5254. That is huge work to be undertaken not only by Clark County, but Commerce and other counties. So that's also coming. That's a commitment that I have to engage my staff to do. But it's going to be your call.
I think that bill, though, did include requirements for the state to provide funding, or some of those provisions went away. I'll have to go back and check, but I know that was a big issue.
It was a big issue. You're right, Councillor, but I believe it provided for $400,000 for consulting work with Commerce. It's just so funny. The consultant will do the work to tell us what to do and how to do it, but then we've got to go ask for funding for the cities and the counties to do that work. But this initial 400 was for the consultant to set the parameters of what needs to be studied.
So that's how I understand it. I think that's a conversation we need to have late summer, early fall, so that we're preparing our legislative priorities for next year. We can start talking about the need for supporting GMA in general, not specific to the framework plan, but so we can go in and ask the legislature for help. That's an issue that I think every county deals with.
Sure, I agree, Councilors.
So we'll take a look at this, and you meet regularly with the cities anyway, so this will be an ongoing topic of talking about boundaries and things like that. We also have the responsibility of the framework of the rural plan, which only us can talk about on that part. So possibly getting back together and then going really through the plan, you know, and seeing what ones we check and what ones we don't are okay, go from there. So.
Okay. That's all I have. I know we have another work session at 10:15. And I'm at Holden, so I'll be sitting here. My staff will join me.
Okay, so I would say in about another month and a half or so, we'll have our second one, and we'll figure it out within 3 months and be done.
Okay.
It's a joke, all of
it. He's not laughing now.
But he said okay. He's a good soldier.
Yes. Okay, thank you, everyone, for coming.
Hit stop.